Hey, everyone. Welcome to my show, My So-Called Fabulous. It is so great coming to you today. I am so excited because you all know I love my fitness. I am so into fitness. I crave it. I have to have it. I love it. Hence, I have guests on my shows that loves it as well. So today I'm bringing you all the way from Austin, Texas via Zoom, Jennifer Fisher. She is with the Fit Fork. So Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Tiffany, thank you so much for having me on My So-Called Fabulous. I'm very excited to talk about My So-Called Fabulous, which revolves around eating well and exercising, following my passions, which is running, working out, hybrid fitness competitions, just being, I like to say, my best beast. So
you are your best beast.
Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. And if you go to her Instagram, The Fit Fork, you can see what Jennifer does. She is an absolute machine in so many areas of her life. And fitness, I think if you scroll her fitness feed, her Instagram feed, you see fitness, definitely all the hybrid competitions you do, your runner, and food. And I'm going to back up on how Jen and I met. We met, gosh, years and years ago through the beef industry. And we met, and Jennifer, I love the story you tell on how we met because you were running a marathon, right?
Yeah, I was running one of the local Austin races, and crossed the finish line, and you know, it's always that festival party atmosphere at the end of the race. And so I wasn't really worried about my time or getting the water or whatever. I just smelled beef in the air. And so following my nose, I made it over to a tent that was serving up fajitas. Didn't even look at the name of who it was. I just grabbed my fajita, devoured it, renourished my body. And then thought, hey, I need another one, circled back around, grabbed another one, and life was good. And so then about 2 weeks later, a friend invited me to a grilling class that she had won specifically for women to learn how to cook and barbecue and do the smoker and all that stuff. And it was called like Girls Gone Grilling or something. And she knew that I love to cook. It's been a passion of mine since I've been a child. And hence the blog, The Fit Fork, revolves around those recipes and my love for healthy eating and being creative. But I've kind of always shied away from cooking meat. Not that I'm a vegetarian or a vegan, happy for people to have so many eating choices. I do eat meat. I'm an omnivore. I love it all. I eat everything, but I just didn't have a lot of confidence in cooking beef, meat, whatever. She took me over to the class. All of a sudden, I'm recognizing people from the race that gave me those fajitas. They said, hey, we just started a Texas beef team that is all about showing the community how beef can fuel an active lifestyle, that it's filled with healthy nutrients, like we call it ZIP, zinc, iron, protein, that it can really nourish your body. It's got 10 essential vitamins and minerals. It's really a great protein for your training diet. And I'm all about protein. I really feel like that's one of the key parts of my diet. And so I'm like, hey, sign me up for the beef team. That was at least 10 years ago. The team has grown from like 100 to 1500. We're a force to be reckoned with at the races. People from all walks of life, all places in their fitness journey, showing people how beef can be part of an active, healthy lifestyle. So anyway, long story short, through my connection with the beef team, some other work evolved. I started seeing Tiffany around and became friends. I've even shadowed her in a few cooking demos on TV. She's quite the inspiration and personality. So that was a lot of fun. And to this day, I continue to develop content around beef for the beef-loving Texans as a little side gig. But then I have my own blog of 10 years, thefitfork.com. Right. So that's how I met Tiffany. And actually, one of the standout things in my mind is that she did show me how to do a reverse sear. I think it was a strip steak, and then she sprinkled blue cheese on top, and I was dying. It was so good.
So good. The reverse searing is what she's talking about. And it was about 10 years ago, I agree, because I was doing a series Girls Gone Grilling, and which reminds me that needs to happen again. But go, and we were both with the beef industry. Jennifer and I both still work with the beef industry, but have our own companies as well. But that's how we met, and she as well did television and radio, and I helped work with her on that. So that's kind of how we became friends. And of course, we were our children went to Vandergrift High School in Austin, so we have that commonality. But back up, I remember you telling me, Jen, you were not a big beef eater. This is not all about beef today, but it's interesting because we are talking about food and fueling your body today. Tell me, you were pregnant. And
yes,
you had a craving, right?
I feel like this totally plays back into, we talked about this again before, plays back into kind of my mindset of intuitive eating and just eating to honor your body and what your body tells you to do. So I, like I mentioned, was not a meat avoider. However, I did not prepare a lot myself at home. My idea of going out for a steak dinner or barbecue or really any significant quantity of beef was, or in protein, not beef, in general, was just kind of like not on my radar. So long story short, I got pregnant for the first time. And this came after a stint of being an elite marathon runner trying to qualify for the Olympic trials. So I had really run my body down to the limit, you know, of what it could do and needing to be refueled properly. And I probably was not refueling properly at that time. And now I look back and think, youth, what I could do then and just treating my body like crud, you know, had I known.
Sure.
But anyway, so I got pregnant and I woke up one morning and I was just like, I need beef. Specifically beef so bad. And so my husband's like in the car, he has it revved up and ready to take me out to get a steak. And I really, in hindsight, think that my body was saying, one, I wasn't getting enough protein. And two, I needed more iron to support, you know, just a healthy pregnancy and all the other nutrients that go along with it. So kind of from that point forward, I really did start listening more to what my body was telling me I should eat rather than what society and diets were saying I should eat.
And everyone is different. I'm going through this. This is a personal challenge for me. Right now I do Tiffy's 8-week challenge. 8 weeks, I'm trying to figure out what's going on with my body. And I think you're right. Actually, I know you're right. Your body craves it, especially during pregnancy. When I was pregnant with Kennedy, I don't eat seafood. It's a personal choice. It's not, I had a bad experience one time. So, but I woke up one day and I was craving tuna fish. And I was reading where she was developing and it was whatever it was, I needed fish in my diet. That is exactly what I needed. And I was craving it. And to me, that's that intuitive eating in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm doing this 8-week challenge, and let's talk about this. Jennifer, I'm counting macros and it makes me crazy. I'm not, I don't like being it does make me crazy counting like that, but I'm doing it for 8 weeks and I'm on week 3 and I've changed several things. My body fat is down 5%. I've lost 5 pounds and I'm not heavy. I'm a fit person, but it is amazing.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. I mean but 5%, that is in 3 weeks but I am eating my ass off. I am eating so much food and I typically don't eat that much food. And I think what I've done through my life, and I'm curious what you think about this. I think what I've done a lot of times, I get so busy, I don't eat. You know what I mean? It's like I'm not trying to, you know, starve myself, but I think my body's just craving fuel. What do you think about that?
I do. I find myself getting in that same situation sometimes too. Backtrack. I kind of feel the same way about the macros. Counting them does make me very crazy and slightly disordered in my thinking about food. I think it just, for me, it puts too much control on controlling the food rather than just eating it to as I need it. Mm-hmm. But that being said, it's an excellent tool to one, learn mm-hmm. and educate yourself on what you need and what that looks like what the macros are that you're eating, what it looks like in the number form, and then compare that to what it looks like spread out on the table form, you know, like, so mm-hmm. you can really see, oh, look, I ate X amount of calories and this percentage of protein, fat, carb, and this is what it looks like mm-hmm. in the various formats. It can look like a little pile of crap, or it can look like a big, beautiful buffet of goodness, you know? So
absolutely.
I think that's a really good tool to educate yourself. And I will check in with macros now and then just to see if I'm where I think I am. I think I've told you this before. Every time I do that, I see a natural pattern fall out, and it's that I basically eat a third from carbs, a third from fat, and a third from protein. Mm-hmm. So the carbs, we're talking mainly, complex carbohydrates or fruits and vegetables that are that kind of carbohydrate, not a lot of rice and pasta and breads. However, being an intuitive eater, it's not off limits. So, you know, I'm feeling to eat my goals. So typically 95% of the time, my goals are to feel well, to perform well, to, you know, age healthfully. Mm-hmm. I'm eating to fuel those goals, but sometimes 5-10% of the time, my goal is to just eat that ice cream cone or, mm-hmm. you know, have those drinks on vacation or whatever. So it's not restrictive. I don't feel bad about it. There are no cheat days. I don't think there is a cheat day, you know, so you just eat mm-hmm. and you eat to fuel your goals. And when you're able to count the macros up front to start learning, to see what that looks like, and then you just develop those patterns over time, it just becomes almost like second nature. Mm-hmm. But backing up to your original question about getting too busy, not eating, and kind of falling into a bad routine. Yes, story of my life as a mom, a work person who works for myself. Same with you. You get so busy in your life, and then all of a sudden you're realizing like, well, you know, I woke up at 4 and I did eat, mm-hmm. but then I came home, I did a few things, I checked emails, I went to the gym, I ran some errands, and all of a sudden now it's 2 and I haven't had anything to eat, which is probably not a really great idea. So especially considering I usually try to keep dinner my smallest meal of the day, just because that's how I prefer it. And plus I get some reflux. I just sleep better if I don't eat a ton at night. So I do have to be very mindful. I have to be very mindful about like, what am I eating midday? Cause I like to eat most of my food, you know, in the morning and around lunch. So if I'm going to the gym at lunch, that means, packing some healthy snacks or that protein shake or planning where I'm going to stop to eat before errands, you know, somewhere that's not junk food, somewhere that's great. So
right. I love that you said that. I love you said your dinner is the smallest meal of the day because, yeah. you know, I've told you before, I've had quite a bit of sleeping issues for over yes. a year now. I mean, not sleeping.
Yay, being 50.
Yay. Hormones, not lack thereof. And since I've started this plan, I'm eating better. I'm sorry. And I'm sleeping better. And I've actually slept through my alarm a couple of times, which is unheard of. And I think my body is just so exhausted and tired. So that maybe that last meal of the day, you keep that smaller. And maybe that's part of it as well, because that's what's happening with me now.
Is that what you're doing too? You're eating less at night?
Oh, I'm just pounding it at breakfast and then yeah. lunch, and then I'm eating less. That's my smaller meal at night for me.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think through that, but that is a great, great point. So would you tell everyone, let's enlighten everyone, because when I talk about on my Instagram stories, my percentages of my macros, and I tell people that I'm eating carbohydrates, their first thought is pasta, chips, that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
define carbohydrates for our listeners.
Well, I mean, you know, there are two kinds of carbohydrates. They're simple carbohydrates that are like sugars. And you're going to find that in foods that use like table sugars, like candy and cookies and cakes and the refined flours, and they go into baked goods, pastas, et cetera. And those are going to you know, they're used by your body faster. So they spike up your blood glucose and then they crash you down and they just get you in a vicious cycle. You know, fruit has some of that too, but the beauty of fruit, the fruit sugars is that, yeah, they might go straight into you, but they provide natural energy. And then they also offer so many other nutrients and vitamins and minerals and dietary things that you need, like fiber, that the other simple sugars and carbohydrates can't offer. So a lot of people do try to avoid fruit, but it really works in my diet. It gives me a lot of natural energy. Same with the vegetables. I mean, I feel like vegetables, unlimited, just eat as many as you want. You really can't go wrong. So that's a complex carbohydrate. Takes longer to break down your body. I'm not an RD. So y'all, I'm just a self-taught nutritionist and yeah. I know it works for my body, you know, so
we're
don't
just experience.
If you really
here.
Have some questions about it, I would say seek out a nutritionist mm-hmm. to help you in your journey. But I really think that carbs get such a bad rap. And I think people like to listen to the little sound bites that they hear on TV or get a glimpse of on their social media, you know, someone that looks fabulously fit and is saying, I don't eat carbs or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. And so I don't really, you know, I'm not part of that. You know, I like to eat carbs. And when I say I don't eat bread and pasta and rice, I do. Mm-hmm. If we want a hamburger with a bun, I'm going to eat it.
Right.
But is it fueling my goal for that day?
Right.
You know, it just kind of depends.
Exactly. So yes. And yeah. And people just shake their head going, you eat carbs? I went, guys, I eat fruits and vegetables. So I think it's just, yeah. It's sound bites. Exactly. It's, you know, my trainer, Katie, she was telling me, you know, she gets so frustrated with the magazine articles. Oh, perfect abs in 10 days. Yeah. No.
Yeah. They call that clickbait, the headline. You
yes.
Know,
no.
Give someone the headline that they want to read and tell them what they want to hear.
Exactly. Exactly.
Then, yeah.
So frustrating, but it's just living.
But I will
life.
Tell you that two of the other food commodity boards I work with very regularly on a regular basis are National Watermelon Promotion Board, which is watermelon.org.
Yes.
Which is a fabulous fruit for athletes because it is 92% water. So it's hydrating. It has all sorts of great vitamins and minerals in it. It has an amino acid called L-citrulline in it, which has been linked to increasing, opening up your vascular system and increasing blood flow. And when that happens, you recover faster. So the initial research is linking it to lessen post-workout soreness, you know, less delayed onset muscle fatigue. So it's, and plus, darn it, it's just good. I love watermelon. Mm-hmm. I just love it. And then the other one that I work with frequently is USA Potato. So, you know, another fabulous fuel source for athletes, potatoes, and you know, potatoes get a bad rap, but I mean, mm-hmm. a potato ounce for ounce has more potassium than a banana. It has, you know, the carbohydrates you need to keep you going. Tiff, my perfect plate would be a steak, a slice of watermelon,
and a potato.
And a potato. Right?
I know. Katie put potato back in my diet, and I'm like, wait. I mean, it's just, again, it's one of those things. I'm like, I can't have potatoes. I can't do it. I just can't. And she's like, no. And now look what's happened to me. I mean, it's just amazing. Food is amazing. And you know, everyone, we're talking about real food, not the drive-through food, not processed food. That to me is a problem with America and the obesity rate, processed food. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. You know, I mean, it's an epidemic, and I've talked about this so many times. I'm sure everyone's tired of hearing it, but you got to stay away from that stuff. You know,
I don't really understand. And I hope I don't upset people when I say this or companies or people that do this, but I don't really understand because my kids, they're younger. The solution is just to go out and get every meal out, which there are a lot of healthy choices now, thank goodness, mm-hmm. but I don't just that need for convenience. And I don't know. I feel like you don't know really what you're getting and what you're eating. And And really, if you try it, if you just invest a little bit of time in learning, making your own food is so much easier. It's healthier. You see what's going into it. It's fresher. It's much more economical. So if that is something with you, if you think that it's too expensive to eat healthy, it's not. I mean, there are so many things that you can do, and some of the most nutritious foods are not expensive. For example, I will go back to the potato, and also watermelon is pound for pound the cheapest fruit in the produce department. I mean, you know, obviously it's like I get the one that is so heavy, I can barely, like one time I think I sprained my wrist getting it home, you know?
So. Right, exactly. You can see her with the watermelon and the recipes she's developed on her Instagram feed. They are quite fun. It's quite comical.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I've done workouts with watermelon. Yeah. Y'all need to head over and see that. It's quite a treat.
It is so funny. It is hysterical. Yeah. I love following her. So tell us how you got in. I mean, you've always been an athlete. I know you throughout your life, you've been fit and you've been an athlete. You started running in college. Is that right? I mean, like competitive.
Yeah,
running.
I did start running in college. I ran, as a younger kid, I just did the typical, you know, I kind of went begrudgingly to my PE class. I did gymnastics and was mediocre in my opinion. I was fairly shy and didn't enjoy team sports, but every time we did the presidential fitness test at school, I would show up and I would always be the first girl back from the run. And people would be like, what? You know, she's not the sporty girl. And so I never really clicked then that might've been one of my strengths that I, you know, cause I feel like everybody has an athletic strength. I'm always every day just humbled and amazed when I go do an event and I look at someone, I think, oh, they don't look fit or they don't look strong or fast. And then they just, you know, whatever, they whip out some yoga trick that I'm like, what? Or they're strong, you know? So I think really feel like everybody has at least one, if not more, athletic gifts that they need to find and, you know, enjoy.
Sure.
And so anyway, apparently running was mine. My mom encouraged me, bless her heart. But I was like, no, because back in my elementary, junior high school days, that just wasn't, girls just didn't do sporty sports like that. You were a cheerleader, gymnastics, you did things like that. So super excited to see things do a 180 and girls out there, you know, doing all sorts of amazing things in sports and fitness, but mm-hmm. that was not my story.
Right.
So in college, I kind of took up running as a way to just stay fit. And not even running that much. I mean, just a few miles here and there, and then some social fitness things with girlfriends. And then right after college, we would do fun runs. And again, I would come in, like I'd be the first woman or like the first few women to come in without any effort or training. And again, is it clicking that I should be a runner, you know, should maybe put some more time in this? Finally, it did. One day at the park, a guy stopped me. He goes, and I was doing a 3-mile loop at Memorial Park. He's like, are you running the Houston Marathon? And I'm like, you know, I'm giddy and, you know, just want to fit in and do what everyone else is doing. I was in my early mid 20s. I'm like, yes, I'm running the marathon.
Sure. Oh my gosh.
No idea. How far is a marathon and when is it, basically? So I ran back home and looked it up and signed up and found out it was 26.2 miles and it was going to happen in just under 3 months. And so I got myself to the start line and finished in a time that, you know, actually was pretty amazing for everything that was going on.
You didn't even know what a marathon was.
Wow, I can't believe you did that. And then, so after that, I was like, wow, I found something. Mm-hmm. And this, I was coming out of my shell of being shy because I was finding this confidence in something that not only was I doing well at, it was making me feel good physically. So I pursued that a little further, took it into trying to qualify for the Olympic trials, which I missed by just a little bit, but then started a family shortly thereafter. And then Tiff and I think this helped me out a lot. In my in my 30s, the process of having three kids, having it be a little harder to have the kids, just because of being so lean my whole life and maybe not following the best nutrition at that part of my life. Mm-hmm. You know, so I was in this cycle of trying so hard to get pregnant, then being pregnant, hoping to stay pregnant, nursing forever, mm-hmm. then starting the whole thing over. I feel like that lasted like 10 years. So during that time, I did not stay a hardcore runner like I see other women doing, which, you know, different things work for different people. It didn't work for me. So I took it down a notch and, you know, I jogged for fun. I did a little bit of gym for fun, nothing serious. But, you know, I kept my base fitness. And then my mom would bug me and say, when are you going to get back to the running? You know, that was really a gift for you. And I felt so overwhelmed and busy in life. I would say, you know, I'm good where I am now, which was true. I'll do it when I turn 40. And that sounded like a day that was so far away that would never, ever, ever come, being 40. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I remember that day approached and I kept my word. Husband and I booked over to Las Vegas and I ran the Las Vegas marathon and caught the bug again and caught the bug for running, ran for a couple more years and then bumped into a girl that's at a race that is now a dear friend of mine. So this is, I'm losing a little time. How old am I? Oh, I'm going to be 54. So we're talking like.
We're in the same boat.
12 to 14 years ago, I bumped into a girl in a start line of a race. She asked, what do you think your finish time is going to be? I'm in it to win it. Mm-hmm. And this is my competitive nature coming out. I look at her and just give her the total bitch eye. Yeah. I mean, I'm like, you know, are really, you kidding bitch? Me? I gave her like, just get away from me. I'm not telling you. And so I ran the race and I see her, as fate would have it, I see her the next day in the Steiner Ranch, one of the Steiner Ranch parks. She doesn't even live anywhere around here. She was like riding a bike on a trail. Anyway,
what?
Turns out she's a very well-known running coach. She helped me tweak my form. It's Valerie of Run RX on the Fit Fork. If you want to follow her, she's got a massive following. Huge. Run RX. Anyway, she tweaked my running form to keep me injury free. And also we became great friends during that time. She opened a CrossFit box because she was also a personal trainer. So I kind of begrudgingly went there because she was telling me I probably should get a little stronger to stay competitive as an older athlete or older, you know, runner, because a lot of times I would run and my lower back would hurt. Mm-hmm. And well, that's because running a marathon is a long time to run, holding your entire body upright. You know what I'm saying? Your core is really working, not just your legs. So that was that. So plus I was having a ton of, I talk about this all over my blog, so I just won't be embarrassed. I'll put it out there. I was having a lot of incontinence and bladder prolapsing issues from the pregnancies. And for me being a smaller person and having like 3 9-ish pound babies. So it had started to just become something I lived with, which is pretty sad. And I wasn't willing to do the surgery because I'm kind of skittish about it. And I also didn't want to give up and have to have rest time. That's my stubbornness. No, I didn't want to be on this. I didn't want to be benched, you know,
for 3 months.
I had just learned to live with it. You know, my mom would come to every race with dry clothes and et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, she goes, you just need to get stronger. Your core won't, your back won't hurt when you run. And while you're there, why don't you try to do a pull up? I could do one, you know, I could do one pull up. Mm-hmm. I remember she took me to a clinic, a running camp, a CrossFit running camp in California. And man, I could run circles around those girls. But when I saw some of them doing some of the other fitness things, and then my brain wanting to judge them, they don't look that fit. Mm-hmm. They can't run, but I'm watching him do like tons of pull-ups and all these things. And I was just extremely humbled. And so from that experience on, I was like, I am going to get stronger. And So I remember that there at that camp, I could do one pull up. And now if I'm well rested and my arms are fresh, I can maybe do 18 to 20. So wow. That is a massive improvement.
Mm-hmm. Huge so, improvement.
But getting back to my core, which everyone sometimes wants to focus on, oh, you have abs, this, that, and the other. Well, right now I'm extremely bloated. I have abs on top of a massive bloat. I don't know what's going on, but
what's going on? Is it hormones?
I don't know what's going on. I think I'm still having a lot of hormonal issues mm-hmm. in my life with getting through. I'm still in perimenopause and it's just like,
yeah,
when is this going to end? Hi, this is 15 years of this, you know?
I know. Right. So, I know.
So for me, the core strength has been an extreme game changer because I do not have back pain. I do not have bladder prolapse. I do not have incontinence. Making my entire core stronger just pulled everything up, you know, and I feel like put it back into place. And so while this might not work for everyone, although the doctor said I had a surgery worthy, you know, case, I am so glad in hindsight that I did try and successfully accomplished fixing it on my own mm-hmm. rather than going in to be patched up and then who knows what would have happened. So, like I said, it's not a solution for everyone. And I do know like when you first have a baby, you need to go into these things very gently, you know, the separation of your ab muscles. You can't just start crunching out and doing hardcore, you know, ab exercises. You need to move into it gently. But, at that point I had been recovered from pregnancy for a while. So that getting stronger was a game changer. So mm-hmm.
right.
I am going to just jump into my next thing because I know you pointed out, I don't just run anymore. So, I also about 6 years ago realized, hey, I can now do all these pull-ups and I'm stronger upper body and lower body too. You know, those Spartan obstacle course races mm-hmm. really jumped out at me. And I was a little part of my, oh no, I don't know if I can do that. Trying something new. I just said, I'm doing it. My husband's like, and they're way out. They're in the middle of nowhere on a trail. So basically you run the distance or anywhere from like 3 miles to 13 miles. Or eight, I did one in Lake Tahoe that was 18 miles. That was a world championship. Want a race, but, and then there will be like 20 to 30 obstacles on the course and you just run and you go straight into the obstacle and it's a trail run. So it's pretty technical running. And I realized that with my newfound strength, this was kind of a good mix for me. So we've had a lot of fun with those. My husband, like I said, drove me out there because he was worried I was going to need to ride to the hospital or, you know, whatever. I said, that's dumb. If you're going to come out to the start line, you might as well run the race. So he did it. He got hooked. So that's something we enjoy doing together. And then most recently, these hybrid fitness competitions have popped up and become popular. Mm-hmm. They're gaining popularity. So same sort of thing, combining fitness with running. Strength with running. So instead of being outside on a trail, you're doing your running inside. So say like it might be you're running a 1K, which is a little over a half mile. Then you go straight into your fitness event, which might be a sled push, run a 1K, you know, do a farmer carry, run a 1K, do it. And so you do like 8 or 10 of these rounds in a race format. And that's been fun for me. I've enjoyed that. And it's been a way that I can more gracefully accept seeing my running times get a little slower naturally by age, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. because now I'm adding something, a new challenge onto it. So it's been good for me.
Right. Absolutely. I'm going to ask you a question and I do not want to insult you at all with this, but I'm going to ask you this question about running. Because I've had two runners, one that is going to the Olympics. Now these mm-hmm. are sprinters. They're mm-hmm. sprinters in college, these two men. One didn't make the Olympic trials, was, you know, devastated. Mm-hmm. But sprinting is different. You're a long distance, correct?
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
So, Jen, I've asked these men, do they love to run? And they say immediately, no. They hate running. Okay. So there's that. All right. But that's their careers too.
Yeah.
I would rather have a vaginal piercing than run a marathon. Yeah. Okay. I'm just saying it. I just would.
Yeah,
and I don't want it, but do you love running?
Okay. That is a good question because my last run that I did, I hated every minute of it.
Oh,
I did. But days I do love it. And I think what makes me not like it as much is I go into a lot of the runs tired because I'm adding these strength things in. So I'm just dead and not recovered. But for the most part, I'd say, 85% of the time I love running, and sometimes I have to give it a mile or two. The older I get, I don't just jump out the door and be like, this is great. Sometimes my body's like, what are we doing here? Why? And then I get into that groove that feels good. And 100%, always when I finish, I feel well, and with any workout,
sure.
If I didn't want to start it when I showed up, I would always feel better when I'm done. Mm-hmm. Not because I'm done, just my whole body feels better. You get that endorphin rush, you get stress relief, I feel like a good sweat session cures a lot of problems and makes me a happier person. So.
Absolutely. People ask me a lot, or some people go, you're so lucky, you're so thin, or you're so fit. I'm like, no, that's not luck. Trust me.
Yeah.
It's not luck. I bust it every day to lead and have a healthy lifestyle. And we're going to talk about injuries in a minute, but people, I get up so early and I love working out. I love it. I mean, when I'm on vacation, I work out. I just love it because the endorphins, I can go in and go, oh my gosh, my day is, I just think, oh gosh, my day. But I finish, I'm so happy. I'm just like, hey, and it's an endorphin rush for me. And but people, there's a huge population. They're just like, I hate working out, but maybe they haven't found their niche. Like you were talking earlier. Find it.
I know. I do. I feel like, maybe they're not trying the right thing, really, because going into these hybrid events and having done CrossFit for a little while, I see that there's so many different things that you can do. I mean, first of all, yoga, which I do some limited yoga and I should do more. I like to do the poses I like to do, which are like, but the some of the very like some of the forearm stands or the crows or
the
ones
crow.
People might go, what?
So you did
but
crow.
The ones, some of the simpler ones, Tiff, a forward fold, touching your toes, hip openers. Oh my goodness. Some of those things are so hard for me having been a lifelong runner. But so, and I think that can be an excellent workout. And then I see people that are like doing these, super strength workouts, or I love all the high intensity interval workout studios that have popped up, the various ones, because that's an excellent way to get a workout. And it's more fun. I mean, like if you don't love running, a lot of those boot camp type workouts or like Camp Gladiator or say Orange Theory Fitness or F45, they have these circuits planned for you. You don't have to really think of anything. You show up and it's fun, in my opinion, because it's always changing. So it's not the same thing time after time. So if you just happen to hate that exercise, you get to do something different in a minute. And because you persevere through those different exercises, now all of a sudden, overall, you're more fit. So
exactly.
Those are fun. I like going to those classes.
Exactly.
Classes.
I agree 100%. I had one of my followers ask me a question the other day because someone asked my workout, and my workout has been for years the same because I think I've told you before, and everyone that knows that listens, I have a horrible spine. I have two replacement discs in my neck, cervical disc replacement. I have a fusion in my neck. I have a Coflex implant in my lumbar.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Now it looks like I'm peaking that something's going to happen again. That's what the Lord has handed me, a horrible spine. But people go, well, why do you work out? I have to support my core and I've tried to live through these things, but injuries, I started Pilates 12 years ago, reformer and chair. I do that 3 days a week.
I see you doing that. Yeah.
I do that. It's really helped my back and my spine. Now, am I still having issues? Yes, but I can't imagine without. I do strength training 3 days a week with my trainer, which is an exercise scientist. He's a degree kinesiologist. He understands the spine and works with my physician and my sports medicine guy. People were asking me, why aren't you doing cardio? Why you should do cardio? Girls and boys, I agree with you. I need to add cardio, but I freaking don't have time. So what I do is the HIIT training. I throw it in with the strength, but I'll do some jumps on the reformer. But I know I've had cardiologists on here, and they talk about heart health and how much I need to add cardio. But I do get my heart rate up high. But again, I'm not going to run. But it's just time, and I do it early in the morning because that's my love language. But what are your workouts? Do you have a set, or are you set like me?
I do. I have some patterns and go-tos. Over the years, I've, as my intuitive eating, I'm trying to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of taking some of the same approach with my exercise because, having been a highly goal-oriented runner as a younger person, it kind of achieving at a high level, it was so hard to let go of those times, that I saw on my watch. Mm-hmm. So, and to accept the fact that I'm becoming slower for a couple reasons. One, maybe not training at the same intensity because I've now added some other things. And two, just the damn fact of getting older. Mm-mm. Your VO2 max, there really isn't anything that you can do to stop that. You can keep it the best it's going to be. And hence, that's why I like to use my hashtag be your best beast, because, mm-hmm. There's just only so much you can do. You cannot stop aging. You can only make the best of what you have. And so when I started finally putting this together and beating myself up about being slow or whatever, I stopped wearing my watch as much. So I rarely even track my, for a runner would be gasping over this. I don't really even track my mileage. I have a general idea. I rarely track my pace times or anything like that because it's just, for me, it's counterproductive. It gets me in a place where I'm grumpy and in a bad mood. Sure. And feeling bad about myself. So mm-hmm. instead I just focus on what I can do, which is I can do a lot. So, mm-hmm. What I do on a regular basis is we do a boot camp with my husband, and I do that sometimes 2 days a week. We go at 4:45 and in the morning, and some of them are in the evening. And so I'll do that 4 to 5 times a week. And then I go to the gym on my own 3 times a week, and I run 3 times a week. The running could be in the neighborhood, or it could be in combination with the gym. So over the last 2 years, a lot of the workouts I've done have been going back to that hybrid style. So running a mile or running a half mile straight into the strength, I feel like your heart rate still kind of stays up, and then, or could get higher. If your strength part is burpees or something like that, you're getting back on the treadmill. This was my workout that I told you I did not love the running. I'm running, and I knew I was having a bad running day because my intervals I had set for myself were only half miles. And I remember thinking, but my workout in between each one was weighted burpees. So, 40 pounds, doing a burpee and picking up 40 pounds and cleaning it and putting it overhead. And I just remember thinking on every run, oh my God, when can I get to the burpees? I can't wait to get to the burpees. Mm-hmm. So, you're having a bad running day when you're looking forward to your weighted burpees.
Yeah.
So anyway, to answer that, my routine is flexible. It's just kind of what I am feeling. When I say it's what I'm feeling, I have expectations because when I wake up at 4:45 in the morning, I'm not feeling like doing anything. So it's not like I show up at my workout and I'm tired. I don't feel like doing this. But I do what my body lets me do, and I push it as far as I think it can go. And then like you, I also rest on Sunday. I don't do a darn thing on Sunday. Mm-mm. So, and honestly, I feel like I could probably use one more rest day at this age. And sometimes I work that in, but usually not.
Yeah. And that's something that I, through my years of, you know, disordered eating, body dysmorphia, thinking I had to do 7 days a week. I was the 2 times a day, you know, that I went through that whole bullshit. And so, and finding out that I need to recover. So I did. I'm just like you. I said, Sunday, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do, mm-hmm. I'm not working out. So I've allowed myself to clear my mind and accept the fact that I need to recover. I'm 56 years old and I'm teetering with Saturdays too. Like maybe I should, yeah. But right now
take
I'm just
the whole weekend off.
Yes. Enjoy. I know but it's a mindset. You have to have that mindset. Now, Jennifer, you and I are close to the same age. Injuries. I've just, you know, I've exposed that I'm just a horrible back and it is, I accept it. I got it. I'm going to work on it. I'm going to keep working out. And those of you say you shouldn't go to the gym. Mm-mm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Injuries. Tell us, you were talking about you had internally, that was an injury for you, obviously.
Yeah, I guess that would be an internal injury, right?
Yeah. But what now? I mean, yeah, do you have any
all
issues?
The bladder issues? Yes.
Okay. But do you have, I'm so jealous. If you say if you say you have no injuries, I'm going to throw this coffee cup at you.
So I guess that was a pretty significant injury. And not one that you could see, definitely one I could feel. And that was a pretty gross feeling too. Mm-hmm. But I was able to, you know, work that out, get stronger, solve that. And I would say it's not never an issue, but I would say I feel like sometimes with hormonal fluctuations, I can start to feel like again with a little incontinence or that slight feeling of a prolapse, but not really. I think it's just, I don't know, hormones So then other issues have been fairly blessed, but knee issues as a runner, I feel like, can you even avoid those? Mm-hmm. I've been pretty lucky. However, I've had knee injuries when I was younger and before I strength trained, I had a lot of issues on my left leg, always a stress fracture that was fairly minor, knee injuries galore, pulled groin all on the left leg. Mm-hmm. And I think it probably had to do with my running form, which my friend Valerie helped tweak, and now I'm a lot less injury prone. I will get the occasional knee problem. Like I was having one that lasted for over a year where I lost the mobility. It was after Spartan race and I just really, my knee. Yeah. So, and it was hurting so bad that I lost where you're sitting on your heels, know, where you sit back on your heels on the ground or like child's pose where your heels are touching your butt. I lost my ability to do that, which was really, really sad because I sat like that a lot. And so my left knee wasn't letting me do that. And I remember it was around Christmas time, not this past Christmas, but the Christmas before. And I was wrapping the kids' presents and I would always just sit down on the ground to do that. And I realized I hadn't been sitting on the ground in so long that I felt extremely old getting up and down off the ground and even holding a position to sit on the ground. So worked on a little bit of stretching and stuff like that. And happy to say, I am back heel to butt again, although it feels a little tight, but I'm back. The mobility is back. So that left knee is sometimes an issue. And then the other thing I just struggle with is I have osteoarthritis in the hip, ankles, and basal joint, which is the lower thumb joint. So it can really, like, you know, chef stuff, like when I've done stuff, demos and stuff for the Beef Council, I've had to prep a lot of stuff. No. That does not work for my hands.
So. I know. And it is that, you know, the tennis elbow, I call it chef elbow because I've carried so many pans in my lifetime. So for sure. So you and I have another commonality, so many different things. And I was just thinking about this. Greg, my husband, extremely fit. He's a former competitor too. He's almost has his black belt in jujitsu. He has his black belt in taekwondo, but you see him at the gym often.
I would see him at the gym.
Yeah, he's a beast. It is so fabulous being married, or, you know, dating or whatever, being married to someone that is in sync with you physically and works out, and we have that same mindset together. Mm-hmm. You have Dean, your husband, very fit. Yes. And isn't it nice? I mean, Greg and I never work out together, though. That's not going to happen. But you guys work out together.
Well, we used to not work out together. He would go to work early to beat traffic and work out on his way to work. I would do my own thing. Our things didn't sync. He doesn't love running as much as I do. But he is a runner. He probably runs one day a week. Now he's probably up to two or three because we've been on the same routine. So we used to do our own things, and maybe on Saturdays sometimes would hook up and do the same thing. But now we're doing a lot of it together. And honestly, that's one of the reasons why we started the boot camp, because we realized it was kind of fun to work out together. And maybe not so much at the gym. When we go to the gym, which we're getting ready to go here in any minute, mm-hmm. but we'll do our own thing at the gym normally. But boot camp, that's fun. It's like going to a class. You know, we have our mat side by side. He's always my partner, and accountability. So like when the alarm clock goes off, if he's tempted to say no, or I'm tempted to say no, well, you know, we're waiting on each other. So we get up and go, and it's been really great for our marriage and fun doing the Spartan races. Like, I'm glad that he loved doing that, because now it's something that we plan and look forward to, and have gone on trips just centered around going on a race, like, you know, Lake Tahoe or Utah, you sure. know, so we'll go plan the race and then run the race, not together, but, you know, show up, do all the prep work, all the training for it together, run our races, and then do little side trips after that. So that's been really fun for us. And I'm hoping we get to do more of it, like during the whole year long of COVID, when we were going stir crazy during our porch workouts. He did find one small adventure race that was in Huntsville. And it was an adventure race, and we had never done anything like that before. So it was canoeing, mountain biking, and trail running.
Wow.
And so he, in 6 or 12 hours. So we decided to sign up for the 6 hours worth, since we weren't sure. And so we did that together, and that we were a great team, because you had to plot your own, course. They just gave you coordinates. You didn't know exactly where you're going, so you had to figure the map out yourself. I am not a map person. Everyone knows that. So that was his
deal.
That was his job. And then my job was like keeping our snacks ready, you know, being right. a cheerleader.
Stay in your lane, Jen. Stay in your lane.
Run faster. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. That's it. Well, Greg and I will not work out together. It's just not going to happen. We're just two different mindsets, and that's fine. But we're in sync together.
I know. I agree. And so like when you go on vacation, probably same first question, although I know you love that one place you go to all the time. Mm-hmm. It's like, when we're on vacation, the first question is like, well, what's the hotel's gym like?
Exactly. 1000%. We have friends that want to go to this place. They want us to go on a cruise, not a cruise. It's a boat out, and it's 10 days. And we're like, no, there's no workout. Yeah.
There's
happening.
No workout. Deal breaker.
That's a deal. It's a deal breaker. And that is, I know people, it's crazy, but that's our mindset for sure. Jen, you love to develop recipes. You love to cook. You and I have that commonality again too. Are you doing a lot of that lately?
Yes, I do keep that up. The fitfork.com is probably 75% my recipes, whereas the Instagram is more my fitness journey. So I do keep that up. I like to just keep it real. You know, these are easy recipes that anybody can do. Nothing crazy. You don't have to go on a 3-day long hunt for some, you know, special ingredient, or order it from, and it's, you know, $1 million. Sure. It's like, these are things you can make that your family's going to eat, that are real food. And they're just going to fuel an active lifestyle. So, mm-hmm.
Right.
I keep it up. I do keep it up. I've loved to cook since I remember distinctly my favorite birthday gift when I was 8, and I still have it. I should have brought it in as a party. Oh, we're not on a video. I forgot. But my Betty Crocker for Kids cookbook.
Oh,
I still have it.
You did.
In that cookbook, it was Betty Crocker for Kids. It's so vintage in 70s. Yes. You would laugh if you saw it. It's sticky. The pages are sticky. When you open it up, I crossed out Betty Crocker's name and I wrote my name over her name.
How cute. Oh my gosh. That is so hysterical. I know. I still have my cookbook, the Betty Crocker, the one that was a red and white check, you know, the Betty Crocker.
Betty Crocker. Yeah, that one is a classic.
Yeah, classic. I have that. It's so nasty too. Gosh, I mean, stuff all over it. Yeah, a lot of notes and my mother's too. So it's so great to talk to you about all this. I just love it. And this influencing world is so crazy. And, but we love doing it, both of us,
yes.
You and I, and so many commonalities. And you have such a success. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me. And everyone out there, if you're interested in some easy, healthy recipes, head over to the Fit Fork or follow me on Instagram at the Fit Fork and just check out my fitness journey. Some of the things are a little crazy and over the top. A lot of them are very accessible and modified. Anyone can do it. And I would just say, if you're even thinking about doing something active or trying something new, it's like there's not even a question. Just do it. You just try it. If you don't like it, I would say try it again to make sure, and then try a new thing. Find out what your strength is and find out what your passion is. But I really think that we were made to move and eat well. So those are the two things I keep in mind as I'm trying to age gracefully or not so gracefully. Some I don't know. Days. Do we want to age gracefully or ungracefully?
You know what? I think I'm going to be ungraceful.
I think I'm going to be. But in some ways, I almost think like aging gracefully almost sounds like you're accepting it. Aging ungracefully sounds like you're going kicking and screaming and giving your best fight.
Yes.
Right?
You know what? It's an uphill climb and I'm climbing it. I am climbing that hill for sure. For sure. Well, thank you so much. It's so great seeing
you
and everyone. Please go rate and review this today and go follow Jen, of course, at the Fit Fork, and then follow me on Instagram, Tiffany C. Blackman. And again, we're trying to get up in that podcast world. Go rate and review this on Apple, Spotify. We're on all those. And let us know what you think. And everyone, have a fabulous day. Keep being fit. Age grace, not so gracefully. And keep being fabulous.